Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what is up, everyone? It is Friday. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Friday. You're probably like, dang, why is he so happy it's Friday? There's nothing to do. There ain't nothing to do, Smokey. But you know what? We are 2 days away from episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance. I can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait at all. We're going to talk a little bit last dance, the state of the NBA, all the good stuff with Kyle Fleeger. Fleegs from Suns Debate. He'll be on here with us at 1:30. Before him, we have the radio personality, play-by-play announcer, extraordinaire himself, Michael Caratenuto. He's going to join us at about 1:10 after the hour. Get all that stuff talked about. Get all of it wrapped up until we go into this weekend so we can do nothing Saturday. Grab the kids, sit them down next to us, and watch The Last Dance on Sunday. Well, like I said, welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler. You can do one of two things to get your sticks. They have the best selection in the valley. You can either go down there. Now, you can't go in, but they'll bring your sticks out to you. Or you can call ahead if you know what you want, 480-620-7599, and they'll have them ready for you when you get there. Just because there's a pandemic doesn't mean you can't enjoy your sticks. Now, if you can't get down there at all for any reason, you can always go to Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. Place your order, and they generally get shipped the same day. So you do all that. All that can be done with Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. If you do go in person, let them know that PLR sent you, and they will tighten you up with 10% off of your cigar purchase. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Like I said, we have a couple guests scheduled to come on. 1:10, Michael Caratenuto, radio personality, play-by-play announcer, as well as at 1:30, we have Kyle Fleeger from Suns Debate, coming on, and they will give us their thoughts on everything that's happening with everything. Everything is just so crazy with this pandemic. You realize it's been almost a full week now since we've had any type of real sports go on. We obviously had the NFL draft last week, and there's been nothing since now. The one thing that I'm laboring to do for everyone is to get an auto racer on so we could talk about what it's going to be like to race without fans in the audience. I don't think it'll be as bad for race car, but I don't want to say that just because you can't hear anything. Now, I don't know how pumped up they get by seeing people in the stands, or even if they can notice there are people in the stands because of they're concentrating. Now they're going almost 200 miles per hour in a car, so I'm sure their concentration is very, very, very tight. So I'm curious to see. I'm going to strive to get that one done for everyone. Like I said, I promise you a full lineup of guests. We've been doing that all week. We've gotten so many different perspectives. Some of the things I want to do, though, as we continue this, I don't want to just get perspectives for everyone. I want to get you some stories. So over the next couple weeks, I'll be bringing on people to tell us some stories, some of their top stories, some of the things that they feel good about, some of the things that as we look back on, they look back on their career, things that they thought, maybe that we didn't even thought, think of. I know that we had the great Ed Smith on and asked him who was the greatest player he ever played with. Excuse me. And he said it was Jesse Tuggle. Now, I know a lot of people, especially young whippersnappers, probably don't even know who that is. But those are the type of things that I love to get into, because we talk so much about who people played against. Sometimes we forget these great athletes played with great athletes. And some of them played with a number of great athletes. And so just some of those stories, I think, are just incredible and things that you definitely want to hear. I know I'm going to load up some of the interviews, like the Zach Crockett interview when he talked about Bobby Bowden and Sebastian Janikowski. That may be one of the best stories I've ever heard. I'm going to get that loaded up for everyone and get it up on the site so that way you can click on it and check it out. I honestly think it's one of the funniest stories that I've ever heard, him talking about Bobby Bowden and discipline for Sebastian Janikowski, who, those of you that remember, was just he was an out there dude as a kicker. So I think it'll be pretty cool to hear those type stories. I have a couple that I have from I don't remember if it was Mark Clayton or Mark Duper, talking about how, you know, they never had a wide receiver to get them fixed. Those are the things that I just love to hear about it, and some of the old stories of people playing. Yesterday we had Steve Hunter on. Steve talked about, you know, how he worked out in the summer of 2000-2001 with Michael Jordan as he was coming into the NBA, and just the concentration and the knowledge that he had of the sport, knowing every position, knowing where to go, knowing where to be, knowing what everyone was doing. Those are the type of things that we definitely want to bring you and bring out, because obviously there's not going to be, you know, actual games to speak on. I mean, everybody right now, if we're really being honest, we're talking about speculations, and the speculations without any type of date. The NBA is trying really hard to get the season on, and I can completely understand why they are. And we talk about how you put an asterisk on this and asterisk on that. I don't think any season is going to have more of an asterisk than this one, and more so for hockey and for basketball, because they're trying to think of ways to finish a season as opposed to a baseball season that has yet to start, and, you know, what they're going to do to get the season started. So it's just going to be different. See, when you have a strike and the season's delayed, or you have a lockout and the season's delayed, you can make up so much on the back end. But just like in 94 when the World Series was canceled, it's different when you're trying to now complete something. And how far do we go? Like, how far do you go if you're the NBA and NFL? I know in the NBA and NHL, I know hockey, Gary Bettman made a statement basically saying how if they have to push next season back to finish this season, yeah, but how far do you go with that? You know, if we have, for example, in Texas right now, they're trying to get everything reopened, restarted. But they're also following the highest day of cases of COVID-19. Do you really think the NBA and the NFL are going to run guys out there like that? So how far do we go? If you're the NBA, how far out do you even push the draft? How far out do you push going into next season? We're at May. The state of Arizona isn't even going to start having bars open until possibly the end of May. So if you give June as a ramp-up time and say you start in July, are we drafting players in September? And don't be fooled. I know LeBron James said, hey, who said the season's canceled? Let's get after this. Let's do it. Don't be fooled. If the NBA went back to playing back-to-back playoff games, you'd be the first person complaining. We already know that in the regular NBA playoffs, in the regular thing, if everything goes well, they last from April till June. They're just a little over 2 months. If we start the playoffs if players are able to get in and get going in June, just getting worked out in June to start a playoff in July, July, August, and into September without having back-to-backs is what you would have to do. So then you're looking at having an NBA draft in October. Something's not fitting. Round hole, square peg. We'll talk more about that. I may bring that up with my main man, the one, the only, Mike Caratinero. We're going to get to him in exactly 15 seconds.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Radio personality, play-by-play announcer, you name it, he's done it. He does it here in the Valley of the Sun. I feel like every time he comes on, I should be singing The Courtship of Eddie's Father. So, people, let me tell you about my best friend, the one, the only, Michael Caratinero. What's up, bro?
What's going on, Paul? Well, you're too kind. See, people think you actually probably don't pick on me when you introduce me like that, but your fans must know that you try and pick on me a little bit.
I would never pick on you. I would never pick on anybody. I might be the kindest heart there is in this world.
Oh, see, there you go. You can be both. I mean, you razz a little bit. You try and poetically turn my words at times. I know it, but that's why I love you. That's why you're the best.
Two things can be true at once, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's going on, my man?
Nada, man. Just in here, you know, being as my kids say, the meanest teacher they ever had.
Of course. Hey, just like I've heard every parent say, not that parents didn't respect teachers, but it's funny all the posts I've seen and things saying, man, like we thank the teachers so much because everybody learns at a different pace. And I mean, you're dealing with it at, you know, two kids, somebody's got three kids, but you got 25, 28, maybe 30 in the classroom. It takes a special soul in a way.
You know, the cool part, though, and I'll say this, and I, believe me, we should always be grateful for teachers. But the one cool part is, once they're done, if they have kids, they get to at least go home to their own kids. If they don't have kids, then they get to go home with no kids. But as a parent teaching, man, when you wrap up with them with school, then you got to yell at them about something else. So it's like,
they're still holding grudges, right? Right?
Yeah.
They're still holding grudges.
So you don't get that, you know, you don't get that minute off. You know, teachers yell at your kids, then at least they get in the car and go home. You yell at your kids, you just sit them in their room.
Believe me, I get it. It's, but hey, you know, strength, gotta adjust and adapt and, it's no fun. I mean, we all know that, but at least we still got some sports. And I know you got to be enjoying before we get to the football, I know you got to be enjoying The Last Dance.
I look at this Last Dance as the best truth teller ever. Now, I've had I have a cousin in Chicago who is a big LeBron James fan. I got a ton of friends that are LeBron James fans. They've text me over and over. Now, here's what I think is so funny. The Last Dance comes on. Everybody that's older that, you know, knows, and I'll notice I didn't say thing, that knows Jordan is the greatest to ever play the game. We've said nothing. We've just reveled in our own TV show, especially if you're from Chicago like me, and we just go, wow, check out Mike. Boy, there'll never be enough. But every LeBron fan I have, and every Piston friend I have taken the time to send me a text. I don't even have to bring it up, and I get text messages. It's like, why are y'all so insecure? A good friend of mine, one of the best writers I know here in the Valley, Greg Moore, I asked him, he went on a 4-minute speech of how great Kareem is, and then got into Isaiah Thomas and how they brought it out of Jordan, and he brought all this stuff out. And the only thing I said to him at the end is, you know Isaiah's from Chicago, right? And then all he could do is laugh. And I said, I said it yesterday. It's like whenever you say anything, you got to hear about Kareem, or you got to. And I listen. I'm not knocking Kareem because Kareem is a 100% winner, and I'm not knocking LeBron. But it's like that's the, you saw Coming to America. That's their Rocky Marciano.
Oh, yeah.
That's their one. That's their one. Every time I mention Michael Jordan, I got to hear LeBron James. But I'm loving this for two reasons. One, because I remember it. I remember it going on. I remember the 98 season just like it was yesterday. And I just find the whole thing very, very enjoyable. And you don't have – Mike, you cover sports just like I do. And you don't have athletes nowadays that have that type of cutthroat mentality anymore. It's just not there. And now I'm not knocking these young guys, Mike. I'm just saying.
No, I know.
You don't see
it's
that
different because they all grew up playing. They all grew up. I can't even speak English in this quarantine.
I thought you moved to Arkansas.
There you go. They all grew up playing AAU together. I mean, some did compete against each other, but it wasn't that cutthroat. I mean, you heard, when LeBron first signed, you didn't hear anything really from Magic. I mean, Barkley obviously being on TNT saying, come on, he's going to the Heat, this and that. And then, the Celtics didn't get a lot of push when Garnett and Ray Allen came over with Paul Pierce. But because it's polarizing, like you said, as LeBron James was, Michael sat there with Larry and Magic, and Larry's like, I never would have teamed up with Magic. Like, if I got drafted, if they traded me for some reason, but I wouldn't have went into, he goes, I wouldn't have went into the Red Auerbach office, and that's the same thing Magic said, basically. I'm not going into, Dr. Buss's office and saying, you need to trade me to the Celtics. Like, I mean, it's not happening. But the competitor, the fire, and that's why, and you and I have talked about this before, because you and I are on the same page. They changed the rules in college because of Kareem. I mean, way back when. And I actually had to look that up. But you look at what Kareem did in his career, and I mean, just as long as he was able to do it and be dominant and have, the skyhook. I mean, to me, when people say Bill Russell, look, that was way before me, and I believe me, thanks to, ESPN Classic and ESPN2, I've got to see a lot of old school basketball games and seeing what Bill Russell did and some of those battles with Wilt Chamberlain. But, I mean, they're in the pantheon of it. But, for a 6'6 guard, and, people are – even you saw in The Last Dance when they were saying, oh, there's no way a 6'6 guy can't dominate the game. 6'5, 6'6. And they're like, what? And so, I literally, growing up seeing MJ, I mean, you're right. Because, and even in The Last Dance, Paul, we see people saying, you literally got up the next day to see what he did, to like stats, his points, but assists. And then, working with Phil Jackson. Now, I mean, the thing I like real quick before we get to football is the Dennis Rodman part, which I knew, Dennis Rodman, but I didn't know because, again, no social media. Yeah, there may have been pictures in the paper three days later, but I didn't know he took a little, sabbatical to Las Vegas. I mean, and I love Michael Jordan. He's like, Phil, he's not coming back after 2 days. Like, he's not. And I mean, the whole thing with the line run, I mean, people that have run track and stuff, the line run, the Indian run, and he's like, I told everybody, you're not going fast. You go fast and there's going to be problems, basically, and you saw it, but like, and then Rodman takes off and nobody can catch Rodman. I mean,
yeah,
you had to love it, but I mean, I'm with you, MJ and people say LeBron, but I was going to say to you real quick too, is that, the killer instinct and people, early on, cause you and I talked about, I thought, Kobe. Yeah. I mean, his skill level obviously was there, the power, going like driving the lane, but I used to call him Little Mike because I think he was just trying to be too much like Michael Jordan. And Kobe kind of had the game, but then developed his own thing, but he still had that killer personality where, if you weren't performing in practice, guess what? You're going to hear about it. And who cares? And when Michael Jordan was worried about coming across mean and stuff like that. It's like, I'm sorry, if I play with somebody like that, yeah, I'm going to butt heads. You're probably going to butt heads. But what do they want to do? They just want to. Roy Williams said it yesterday. I heard Roy Williams say yesterday, he all he cares about is winning.
Yep.
So, yeah. It's there.
Before we hop on to football, and on the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR, the one and only Michael Caratino, the one thing I want to say very quickly, see, I never begrudge, I made my comments like, wow, he really jumped to Miami. But I've always backed that up, and the same with KD, and saying they lived up to contracts, and then they re-signed contracts. And so they had every right to leave. So I completely understand that. My point, though, was once you left, you couldn't then, playing with the Hall of Famer and Dwayne Wade and a Hall of Famer and Chris Bosh, and for a season with the Hall of Famer with Ray Allen, you couldn't win 2 out of 4. You couldn't do that. Once you made up your mind and you went and lined up with those guys, you had to go 4 for 4. You had to go 3 out of 4. You couldn't get embarrassed by J.J. Barea or Jason Terry. And that's where that's where the GOAT separates. Same with KD. KD, you know what? I'm not mad at you for going to Golden State. I'm not. You proved that you were a baller by being the MVP of the finals 2 years in a row, and you proved your worth last year when we saw what happened in the game that you played that you got hurt and what happened in the games that you didn't. But when you then leave because, and this isn't a knock on Kyrie because I love Kyrie, but you rather play with someone else because you're feeling like that's not your team or that's not your squad or it's not the happiness fulfillment that you want, then to me, you could still be one of the greatest players, but the GOAT falls out of that. Because no matter what happened in Chicago, he just got on dudes, and I give Kraus credit for getting guys in. I don't give him Kraus for how it ended, but he brought guys in, but it was Jordan and Phil that got on guys to perform. Because Scottie Pippen playing in any other situation would have ended up just being a really good player. He wouldn't have been Scottie. Horace wouldn't have been.
Well, you know what? I agree with you about Horace Grant too. But Scottie Pippen, I mean, just think, if he went to Seattle and played with Gary Payton, now I'm not, Gary Payton's on Michael Jordan, I get it. But if you bring in Gary Payton and Sean Kemp, I mean, come on. That's a.
Right, no.
I'm not
you're talking,
again,
but
it wouldn't have been the same because you're right with Jordan.
I'm not talking refined Scottie. I'm talking when Scottie first came in the league. So that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Certain guys needed that hard push to get to where they ended up. And like I said, I'm not saying Scottie wouldn't have been a great player, but I don't think Scottie would have been Scottie if he wasn't pushed by Michael the way he was pushed.
Right. Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
The no coddling. And I'm saying maybe some of the other guys, some of the newer guys, look, Kobe once said about Andrew Bynum, I don't want to play with that dude. He can't play. He doesn't want to play. He has no heart. And he pushed him nonstop. Paul Gasol was called soft. He gets to L.A., and he's a champion. So you can't tell me that that doesn't make a difference somewhere. But I want
100%. Oh, no, 100%.
We only got seven minutes left. Time goes so quick. But I want to talk to you about a couple quick things with these Sun Devils that that ended up getting drafted. One, I kidded around one day with Kalen Ballage and said, this is going to be running back you. Hell, Mike, we might be wide receiver you if they keep going high in the first round, like Brandon Ayuk and you, the kid that went to New England.
N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, so we may end up being wide receiver you. What? Just talk about how good Brandon Ayuk was this year to separate himself and showcase his talent.
Well, so, I mean, you know, you see him last year come in as a junior college transfer, and it couldn't have been any better of a situation for him. Obviously, the coaching staff, but playing with a N'Keal Harry, playing with an energy guy, like, and he, you know, self-admitted multiple times this season that, you know, he didn't feel comfortable until literally halfway through the season last year, till game 5. And, you know, you had Manny Wilkins and Nikhil's this guy, and you want to get Nikhil the ball. And again, we said the more they did that, I mean, things obviously bloomed quite well for a stretch there. But I mean, his growth, I mean, you just saw it. He learned that. He saw the work ethic that Nikhil had, even though he was a number one, never giving up on it, never, you know, not putting the work in at practice, after practice and everything, and just having that mentality. And I mean, what he did this year, I mean, literally returning punts. And then again, that night when they beat Oregon, I mean, what he did to that Oregon secondary, and people were like, oh, you know, and you know me, people, they're, oh, it's Pac-12 secondary. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. Cause Oregon, before coming into the season, had one of the best secondaries in the country. It was thought to be. So, but yeah, I mean, just getting behind that speed, of that secondary, the game he had there, but just all season long, I mean, returning punts. And yeah, I mean, and plus the receivers that they brought in, I mean, it helps when you got a guy like, you know, Nikhil, obviously still pushing, you know, if he needs to send a little message to a recruit, it helps. But I mean, Chad Johnson's son coming in, those, and at least they got seven or eight spring practices in, because that's more than any other school got. Since ASU did start spring ball early. But yeah, I mean, the improvement at Iuke, man, and just, he's got that personality. And a funny side note, because you know me, one of my good friends in Tampa, I've been on his show. We did our thought to be draft picks. So we went through the first round and we did it, you know, like if we projected a trade, who would trade up? But I didn't have him trading up. I had the Jets taking a receiver, right? Jets, Raiders, and then the Niners at 13. I had the Niners and I said, this is where Kyle Shanahan takes Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State. Well, they make that trade. They trade out of the spot. But then later in the round, so I got the right team, but just at the wrong slot number. But the 49ers, I said all along, and you know I have no love for that team. But I said, man, if they lost Emmanuel Sanders, yeah, they have Deebo Samuel, but somebody like Brandon Ayuk on the other side, I go, Kyle Shanahan will put him in the best spots. And I mean, John Lynch's, not even so much John Lynch's relationship with Herm Edwards, but I mean, if you can play, you can play. And we saw that IU can play, and he lands, you know, pretty close, you know, back in California. I mean, he's playing JUCO ball in California. So back in California, and he's with the Niners. So again, it definitely will, I think, start to with the receivers that came in and their rankings. Again, they got to perform on the field, like you and I both know, but, yes, it definitely has a hell of a chance to be wide receiver you.
I got a minute and a half left. What were your thoughts on Eno Benjamin falling to the seventh round and going to the Cardinals? And what do you think, and rather, how do you think he'll perform as a member of the Cardinals?
Well, I mean, yeah, Eno's awesome. And again, with Cole Cabral real quick signing with the Rams, and Hudson and Williams with the Titans, Kobe with Jacksonville, good for them. But Eno with the Cardinals, to get to your question. Again, you know, running backs are devalued. I know you and I and everyone else has gone back and forth on this. You know, Allaire going to the Chiefs. I thought Eno was kind of literally an Andy Reid type of back, just because I think he is good out of the backfield. Allaire had a great season. I can see Swift and Taylor, but the fact that he fell that far, I mean, again, to me, it shows devalue of the position, not him, because when he went off the board, even Mel Kiper Jr., I mean, even, you know, Daniel Jeremiah was like, wow, you know, this guy, a seventh-round pick, and you know what? You just put a bigger chip on his shoulder. And the thing he does different than all those running backs, and you and I got to see it firsthand, you got a line in front of him blocking. Somebody makes first contact. Okay, I know it was college football, but even in the NFL, guys, we see it all the time, Paul. Guys aren't the best of sometimes coming up form tacklers. He's going to spin off dudes. He's going to bounce off dudes because – first contact, he was the best running back in the draft of, like, yards after first contact, hands down. So, good for the Cardinals. You know, I think they can balance the backfield. They get rid of David Johnson, as we all know, and bring in, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins. You just solidify the receiving core even more. And now you have two backs. And, again, somebody like Eno that can be a three-down back, doesn't have to. It's going to be fresh, but – man, again, I think the Cardinals had a hell of a draft, man. And but Eno Benjamin in the seventh round, I mean, to me, again, homer or not, Paul, it's an absolute joke. And I get not everybody needed a running back.
I'm with you. Hey, buddy, listen, that hit me on time. Tell everyone how they can get a hold of you, and maybe we can catch up next week and talk about some of the other players, the Kobe Williams and the Cabrals.
Absolutely. Yeah, just you can follow me on Twitter, as Paul knows, and your buddy Greg Moore, who kindly nicknamed me Uncle Homer. You can find me at Diablos00. Yes, that is for the Sun Devils. But Diablos00 on Twitter. Hit me up again. Any ASU pressing questions. I love, obviously, what they've brought in. Hit me up there. But, yeah, stoked for these Sun Devils. And just the recruiting's just going to get better and better because more dudes are going to start getting drafted. And it's going to be it's going to be fun on the train because I got on Herm's train day one. You know that. You know I was a homer on that aspect,
buddy.
Paul.
I'm with you, buddy. Next week, let's get caught up again, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it. Be safe.
Hey, Mike, I appreciate you. All right, you too, man. Take care. That's the one only Michael Caratenuto on the KM Show with PLR. Always good to catch up with him. That's for me, man. I love hearing his thoughts on what he has going on. Up now, though, we have the one, the only, Fleegs, Kyle Flieger from Suns Debate. We're bringing him on. We're going to talk what's happening in the state of the NBA, what he thinks, and does he think there'll be a season, a wrap-up to the end of the season, I should say. We'll do that in exactly 15 seconds.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Kyle Flieger. Fleegs, welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. What up, buddy?
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. How's it happening? It's been a while.
It has been a while. It's been a while since there's been basketball.
I know. I feel like Pookie from New Jack City. It's calling me, man. It's calling me, and I can't do anything about it. I can't satisfy this fix. It's just, it's nuts not to have any form of hoops whatsoever.
It is really weird. The closest thing we have is obviously these players playing video games against each other, which doesn't even remotely come close to counting as basketball. But I'm just glad that Devin Booker showed the rest of the NBA who's been playing the most video games in their downtime instead of working on their defense. So thanks, Devin.
I know someone asked me if I watched that, and I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. If I'm going to watch someone play 2K, I'm going to get up out of this room and go to the other room and watch my sons play. I can't watch grown man play 2K. Watch my kids play.
No.
At least I bought that Xbox and PlayStation. So at least I can have some sense going that it's being used. You know, so. But I do have a question. Everyone is saying that they want the season to end. Adam Silver is saying, to complete the season. He wants to complete it. Obviously, the teams would want to, especially the owners. They don't want to lose this money. I don't blame them for that. But, Kyle, I keep trying to put scenarios together, and you weren't on when I said this earlier, but the basketball playoffs run a little over 2 months already. So if you don't complete the season and we just jump right in, and I know there are players that say do whatever, but I don't believe that Kawhi, LeBron, and some of the players that are either older or hurt really want to go back to 80s back-to-back playoff games. I don't believe that because I think that if those teams lose, that's an excuse that they'll use down the line. And I just don't see how they can get this in. You know, the Suns had a call, and James Jones said it would take 2 weeks just to see what shape the players are in before they even really got to real training. And he said, so he's looking at about a total of about 5 to 7 weeks, being very generous, and he could possibly scale it down. If they just started that in June, that means games probably won't even be played until July 15th. Do you really see that logically happening?
I honestly don't think that they can do it without condensing the playoffs into 5-game series in the first two rounds, probably, possibly all three of the first three rounds, and only do 7 games in the finals. I see that as being a way that they could cut some substantial time off the calendar for them. But I don't think there's any chance LeBron gets his wish that they play regular season games at all. I think that's just completely out of the question. And I do think that every sports league is going to have its own question of whether or not to delay even longer. And the NBA, I think that they'll start playing games in out arenas without fans in the arenas, probably by July 1st, and try to get the entire season done before, you know, football really gets going.
If they do that, Kyle, and I'm looking at that, and I'm a Kerry Lackey online, Facial at PLR, Kyle Fleeks, Flieger, Suns Debate. If you do that, you're not just saying the players are going to be quarantined. Say they take them all to Wyoming for 2 months. You know, and obviously if you keep winning, you stay in Wyoming, you come home. But not only will the players have to be all quarantined, say, in a hotel together, you'd have to quarantine the hotel workers. You'd have to quarantine the person driving the bus. You'd have to quarantine all those people, because if just one person comes down with COVID-19, you know they're going to shut it all down. So I think it's a larger undertaking than we're just saying, well, we'll put the players and the refs in the hotel and they'll be fine. But if they still have to...
Well, no, I don't think that. I really think, like, businesses are getting people food without having issues of COVID spreading. Trust me, if Uber Eats was giving people COVID, it'd be all over the news. Fox News would be reporting it right now. And it's something that I do think by July 1st, you'll have most states with most businesses operating. And in Arizona, for example, our timeline is around the end of June. The company that I work for is one of the largest employers in the country for sales professionals. And it is, we're talking about July 1st. And so, you know, that's where I think your timeline, that's why it has to be at least July. And then they'd have to have strong distances. I think you would see every person on the security detail wearing a mask. I think you'd see every player, you know, while they were getting in and out of the building, wearing a mask. And the only people that they would be associating with primarily would be, and at this time, they'd obviously have been around each other to see if there are any concerns. We should have more tests by July 1st. You could literally test them for COVID. There could be tests before every game that are required. So there's things that they can do based on that timeline, with hopefully where we see some of the decline coming. Hopefully July 1st is a reasonable time to get the leagues at least playing games without fans in the arenas and taking, you know, strong precautions.
I had Steve Hunter on yesterday, and he basically said playing a game in the arena is really like playing a game of pickup. It's just not the same. He said coming from a player's perspective, it's not the same. You don't have a vibe or anything to feed off. So he's like, people will see the difference on TV as they're watching. They'll see the game will not be the same without having the fans. From a fan perspective, from a journalist perspective, do you see that happening as well?
I mean, yes, but I do think there will be a decline in play if you have empty arenas, because there will be a decline in energy. But I think that the reason most of these players are where they are is because they're ultra-competitive human beings in general, and they play to win even in pickup. You know, I'm sure it's not the same intensity, but I'm sure there is a level of intensity, right? And I think that by its very nature, it's going to be better than not having any basketball, and people have a craving for live sports right now. So I think it's going to get similar, if not better, ratings numbers regardless of the quality of play. So do I think it's going to be the best season ever played or the best playoffs and finals ever? No, they're going to have to limit it to 5 games. They'll probably have to put some games closer together. and that's going to, you know, cause the level of play to be lower than when they spread it out a little bit more. So they'll have to sacrifice it if they want to make sure that the season actually happens, because the alternative is just canceling the season and starting again next year.
I think that's what they should do. I'm being honest with you. I think this season is ripe with too many excuses and outs if certain teams don't perform well. And I don't think it's on them. I don't think it would be fair. Okay, so here's why I think it's unfair. LeBron James, Steph Curry, and obviously he's not going to be in the playoffs, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, they have incomes, Chris Paul, to have indoor basketball courts. JaVale McGee and players of that nature, they don't. So their readiness level will be different. So you take a 34-year-old LeBron, who's a physical freak of nature, who has everything to stay in shape, but then you take another 33-year-old role player, needed role player, that may not have that same type of finances or resources to stay in shape. I don't want the reason why, you know, the Clippers didn't win is because Montrezl Harrell pulled a hammy. I don't want the Lakers not to win because JaVale McGee wasn't able to perform. Or pick anyone with Milwaukee that you want.
Yeah, people are going to get hurt for sure anyway, guaranteed. You know, we know people get hurt every single year. That's just life in the playoffs and in professional sports. But what I'm telling you is that I think you have a lot of stars, and obviously LeBron is going to be the one that has the most to lose by canceling the season. He's performing at an MVP caliber level. Him and Giannis are the clear two MVP candidates right now. His team was on a tear when they stopped the season. He was on an absolute tear, and they looked like they were going to contest for the one seed with Milwaukee. And he'll be a year older next year. And I get that he's having an outstanding season this year, but he probably more than anybody is valuing the importance of finishing this season. And when your superstars, especially that superstar, are vocalizing their interest in, you know, getting this done and their concerns with their career, they know it's good for LeBron to play in the playoffs. And they know how much money they're going to make if LeBron's in the playoffs, especially if they play the Clippers. Also, I think canceling the season causes a ton of contract issues for them, because the NBA would then have to decide whether or not they were going to lose a year of eligibility off their contracts. Like, is Kawhi Leonard then obligated for another year, or is he going to be a free agent after only playing for the Clippers for one season and making the amount of money he makes? That's kind of BS to the Clippers. There are some things at play here that are going to be factors in what happens, and I think that those are pretty heavy factors pushing them toward completing the season.
Last thing before I let you go, because I know you got to jump pretty soon. I know you've been watching The Last Dance. Have you seen anything that you didn't know that kind of surprised you or made you say, wow, that really, or something that you thought happened that you said, wow, that really did happen?
Well, in my dreams, the Suns didn't lose by as many points in the 93 finals in a couple of those games. That was what happened in my dreams. But, you know, the thing I was most that I went, no way, was when Bobby Knight was talking about him in the first or second episode, and Bobby Knight, coaching the 84 Olympic team, said he's the best basketball player I've ever seen. And he was still North Carolina Michael Jordan. And for Bobby Knight to give him that praise, to say that's the best basketball player I've ever seen, and he had never played a minute in the NBA, I mean, that was, to me, I was like, damn, Bobby Knight was on Jordan.
Yeah.
He was all over that guy. He called that one. So that was really interesting to me. I didn't know how visceral the anger toward, I mean, this was like my formative years of loving basketball. I was 12 years old when most of this documentary is taking place, and 14 years old. And so it was like some of my first sports memories. And I don't remember the vitriol for Jerry Krause. And I don't remember the players having really a voice at that time. If that were today, Jerry Krause would have been fired and up a creek before he ever even spoke ill to Phil Jackson. there is not a chance on earth that you win those championships and you have the best player on earth and you say, well, we're going to side with this person that nobody seems to like whatsoever and is actively eroding the quality of our basketball team by causing friction with Scottie Pippen and with Phil Jackson. If you win 82 games, if you go 82-0, you're still not returning as our coach next year. For him to say that to him, it's like, man, I didn't realize it was that bad.
Fleek, there's no one on this earth that will ever convince me of this. I said this to Steve Butler yesterday. The following season, when they only played 50 games, and Michael Jordan could have rested until January, Scottie could have rested until January, and Rodman could have partied until January, you can't tell me that an 8-seed Knicks that went on to play the Spurs would not have won a title that year. There's no one on earth that can't convince me they wouldn't have been fresh enough to win one more. I just don't see how they broke that up. I really don't. They would have got 7 that following year.
Yeah, and otherwise you can be creative and go and get another player instead of Rodman. But Pippen was still in his prime. Jordan was still outstanding. I mean, you had a lot of players that were going to be – look, you have options. You can pay extra money, right? So, anyway, my whole thing was I was really impressed by Bobby Knight. I didn't realize the Phil Jackson stuff was so bad. And I do remember the Pippen stuff. I remember Dennis Rodman being awesome when I was a teenager. And I've always loved Dennis Rodman's style. I think he's hysterical. And his explanation about getting rebounds was hilarious. But his audible description of the movements he was making at any given moment was outstanding. But in general, I think that the thing that is most interesting about it is that Jordan let it happen and let it come out at all. That it's even that we're even seeing the footage after all this time, and you know the fact that probably has a lot to lose from an image standpoint. If I mean he's still gonna be Michael Jordan, but he's held in such high esteem because of how reserved he is. I mean he's just not a super public figure, and so for him to be in this and seeing him seeing this much time of who Michael Jordan really is, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, he doesn't hold back on words. I let my kids watch it with me. Well, I shouldn't say let. It's required watching in this house, to be perfectly honest. Like, I mean, I don't know why I'm saying the word let. But
you're
I let
doing
them
the Clockwork Orange, peeling their eyeballs back and holding them open, right, so that they can't look away?
Hey, I'm just letting them know. You know, you may be from Chandler, but your dad is from Chicago, and you're watching this. It's really just that simple. We don't have a discussion. It's get your stuff, sit down, and watch this Last Dance. So, yeah, they call CPS on me if they want. I don't care. We watching Last Dance. But I will say this before I let you go, because I know you got to fly, man. I've enjoyed the Last Dance. And it's funny because every time it ends, I look up and I'm like, just go ahead and show us 5 now. Show us 6. And this week I'll say, show us 7, show us 8. And the smartest thing the four-letter did was to go ahead and do this and not wait till the summer like that intended to originally, but with this COVID-19, just going ahead and getting this out because this is great watch TV.
It really is. It's incredibly interesting, and I think it's really cool that it's being released over this time period. It kind of gives me something to look forward to. It's the first time in a long time where I've been excited about a day of the week based on something being on TV. Something that I think is just been really cool to watch. And, you know, for me personally, you know, I think seeing Jordan, I've been using it with my salespeople. There are so many lines about winning and competition. And I talk about it in sales all the time. It's something that it carries over into a lot more aspects of our life. And, you know, man, he is the ultimate competitor, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know the one thing that got me, Paul, also?
What's that?
She's gorgeous, still to this day. You know what got me is that Jordan was playing golf with Danny Ainge before the 86 playoffs round one, and all these old men like Charles Barkley and Shaq and Paul Richardson, for example, are crapping on these NBA players for being friends with each other and think that they're soft because of it, when in reality, it's more the case that, you know, players have been doing this forever. There just wasn't Twitter, and they weren't getting caught to hanging out with each other. They were, you know, doing it privately.
Well, us old dudes use that time to set each other up, not to sing Kumbaya and hold hands. He set up Danny Ainge, because what did he say to him at the end of the day? Tell your boy Dennis Johnson he's going to have a hard day tomorrow because of what I – see, nowadays, all these young whippersnappers, they do this so they can have fun, play games, and hang out and go to each other's birthday parties. Back then, it wasn't like that. It was, I'm going to set your butt up for what's next. Look at Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor, he was very nice to opposing people. He sent prostitutes to their room. What a nice guy. But he did it.
Yeah, that's a little. So you're telling me this is all psychological warfare. That's nonsense. They like to gamble with each other.
Warfare.
They like to go out with each other. They like to party just like these guys did. But instead, they didn't have anybody putting them on blast with a camera phone.
These players today, not all of them, a lot of them are soft as Charmin. Soft as Charmin. And they all want to kiss up to
That's
the ring.
That's why I'm defending
then,
them.
Yeah, I'll let you defend them. We That's a different discussion, different day, but I ain't defending them because I've had too many players tell me they're soft. And I like players tell me that they're soft. So I will say this, though, Kyle, I'm letting you out the door. Please tell me that Devin Booker ain't going to keep hanging out with one of the Kardashians. You talk about curses. Come on, man.
I know, the Kardashian curse. I got legitimately worried, but then I realized Kendall is the only normal person out of that whole family. She's a Jenner. She's not necessarily a Kardashian. She's never technically ever been Kardashian by blood, right? And I think that we're going to be okay. I think we can get through this together. I'm in Devin's corner if he wants to date Kendall Jenner.
Me too.
She's the most normal one. She's the prettiest one out of all of them because she's the only one that looks like an actual human being still.
Doesn't her dad dress like her mom, though?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Tell everyone how to get on board, my friend.
Completely irrelevant.
Tell everyone how they can get a hold of you on Twitter.
They can get a hold of me at Suns Debate. I appreciate all the commentary about the Suns losing to the Bulls. If you're watching The Last Dance, it never gets old.
Notice I didn't bring it up. I did not once bring it
up. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I figured, my God, I wasn't gonna hit you with that. So, but man, I thank you for taking out time today. Please be safe. Take care of your family. And I know things are slowly going to get better, but don't rush out there with some of these other people. Stay safe for your family. Keep your family safe.
You too, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Holy fleeks, Kyle Flieger. I got a couple minutes. I got a call on hold. I want to squeeze in before we have to get out of here. I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Let's get these calls in, 917-889-7828. I have exactly 5 minutes. Let's bust these out. This is the K-Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul. I'm here.
What up, buddy? How are you, Lou?
I got to agree with your last call. I mean, because it's been very intriguing and very, very entertaining to watch The Last Dance. So, I'd be sure I get tuned to it, for the next 3-4 weeks, how much time there's left. And,
I can't wait.
Yeah. I mean, I know people are going to say, well, is this like a soap opera? Yeah, well, it's a soap opera for guys, okay? Any problems with that?
Exactly.
People?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to 5 and 6, and I did watch the that version last week. Wasn't intending on watching that version, but I ended up watching that one anyway.
It's good.
With all the F-bombs.
Well, you know what? It's like this. You can go in your kitchen now and you can bake a cake with Sweden Low, and it'll still be a cake. And it'll still
right.
be edible. But it's so much better when you put the sugar in.
That's true.
So that's why
I knew you were coming. I would have baked the cake anyway.
Yeah, all it is a sugar. All you're doing is adding the sugar.
Right.
I'm mad at you for that.
Put it this way. You want a light beer, but it's still a beer. So you got to look at it that way.
Still a beer. Still a beer.
Still a
beer. Why not just drink? Why not just drink the beer at that point?
You know, if you want to drink Bud Light, you mean it's still a beer, but it's the lighter version.
Well, Lou, have you seen that guy that goes to McDonald's and says, "Let me get a number one with a large fry and a Diet Coke"?
Yes.
For what? You've already got the Big Mac and a large fry. At that point, that Coke isn't separating
you. You might
have to
go all out, you dummy.
You may, at that point, go all in. Go all
in. I say go all out, but, you know, I guess you can say go all in, too. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, let's go.
You're building it up, and then at the end, you're going to whip out. Okay.
Exactly. You know what? I want my pina colada. Do you have any cherries? What? Man, put the cherry on there. Of course I want the cherry.
Put
I just bought the drink.
And
so yeah, it's
I got new. And of course, on the sports front, well, all I can say for this is in about 16 days, gentlemen, start your engines.
Yes,
it's official.
Yes, and I'm actually working towards getting a NASCAR person on to talk about that and what it's like driving without fans, because that really has me intrigued, because I've had so many other people say playing without people in the stands would be hard. But if you're playing, if you're driving and you're concentrating because your car is going almost 200 miles per hour, do you notice the fans? Because I don't know if you've been in NASCAR. It's loud. So do you notice the fans?
Well, I do see a few races. You know, I only pay attention to the big ones, like, you know, like the Indy 500 and the Daytona and whatnot. You don't get a lot of big racing fans around this part of the country in the Northeast, not very often. We don't have the same enthusiasm as the Midwest, the West, Monte Carlo. I can go on all day with this. But you get the general idea.
Yeah, I do.
The Coca-Cola 600 is supposed to run on the day before Memorial Day, so that's been kind of like a new tradition. But, you know, it's just not the same without Indy in the morning. It just won't be the same this year.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens. So it'll be cool. It'll be real cool.
It's amazing, though. They have the
really
Coca-Cola
cool
one, but they haven't said anything about the Pepsi-Cola one yet. Oh. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all
week.
What
about the RC? Are we going to get the RC Cola
it. Nobody's used that anymore. Come on. That's old.
Nobody? Okay. All right.
Because RC Cola isn't around anymore.
Yes, it is. It's still selling.
Maybe in your neck of the woods. Not here.
Yeah, you can. You can still get your RC.
Not in Jersey.
See, they're treating you wrong out there. But hey, listen, the clock is in.
I know.
The clock
Time's
is
up.
In the face.
Talk to you Monday.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Have a great week. Listen, be safe. Always good to catch up with Lou. Let's 30 seconds out. Let's pay a couple bills, and then let's wrap this bad boy up.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Let's wrap this bad boy up. The Cave Show with PLR. Thank you very much to Michael Caratenuto, radio personality, play-by-play announcer, large on the sports scene here in Phoenix. And, of course, Kyle Fleeger, Suns Debate. He is an unapologetic Suns apologist. Say that 50,000 times fast. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Always good to have you guys on. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave. Cave is always with the K on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook fan page. SportsCave.com is the website. If you missed any or part of any shows we have, make sure you're checking us out there. There's some good stuff there. You also can go to KSRN. The KSRN Network has their stuff going on every day at 3 o'clock. So check us out there as well. PLR on Sports is my Twitter. Everyone, have a great weekend, and I will definitely see you next week.